In January, when I came to Olive, I read a book by Sam Parker and Mac Anderson called 211 Degrees, and we visited that book and talked about it. And I'm just going to share with you what that statistic in that book says, in this book, 212 Degrees. At 211 degrees, water is hot. At 212 degrees, it boils. And with boiling water comes steam. And steam can move a locomotive. So let's get right to it. Men, we are living too long on 212 degrees. It's not anyone's fault. It's your stubborn heart to come before God and pray the prayer David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart." I recently heard of a dad hearing his son pray. And his son prayed, oh God, that you bring my mommy and daddy back together. Only for that boy to open his eyes in prayer, and daddy said, well, that's not going to happen. This morning, as I listened to Pastor preach, he talked about men being a model. He talked about men being a mentor. That's why I'm here, Pastor. I want to be better. I want to be a better man. Talked about being a man with a message. Great example that we heard of David this morning, and in our connection groups, we were studying David, and how Nathan approached David. And so before we talk about being organic, and everyone in church is talking about organic, we just need to start things organically. We just need to start men's ministry organically. Well, let me just pause for a minute and remind us that before we go organic, let's go and cultivate. Amen. You see, if we do not cultivate a healthy heart, then we'll organically multiply an unhealthy heart. The world is sinful enough with Sean Pillay in it. You don't need multiple Sean Pillays in this world. So, men, we're just going to get straight to it and address the fact that how can we cultivate a healthy heart so you and I can model to our families what it is to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, how we can model that, and how we can multiply it. You see, weeds multiply faster than crops because sometimes weeds are more hungry than crops. So sin sometimes multiplies very easily in our life. Because for some reason, sin is more hungry in our life than righteousness. There was a chief talking to his grandson and said, "Grandson, in your heart, there's two dogs. One dog craves for righteousness. The other puppy craves for sin." And that boy asked granddaddy, "Which dog wins?" The granddaddy said, "Well, my grandson, the dog that you feed the most will win." So before we come and talk about men's ministry, how can we cultivate a healthy heart so we can multiply this healthy heart? Let me remind you of three things how we can grow before we come and invite some friends to join me. Number one, let me ask you this question. I'm asking myself this question. What evidence of God's presence did you find in your life this week? Can you truly go to a place today or this week? How real has God been to your heart this week? What evidence of God's presence is in your life? Something to consider. Number two, what evidence of Scripture is changing you? What Scripture this week is challenging you? What Scripture this week you just can't get over? What Scripture this week, when you lay your head on the pillow, comes back and you meditate on it? What is it? We will be ashamed standing before the Almighty God, confused, or maybe don't know that Scripture when 2 billion people never heard of the word Bible. Number three, what evidence of a growing appreciation do you have for God's mercy? What evidence of a growing appreciation do you have of God's mercy? And so today we come to celebrate. I know I'm talking very direct because I'm talking to myself, and we talked about men's ministry over and over and over and over again. We talked about families, but when our child says amen, we tell our child, well, that's not going to happen. Psalm 51 and verse number 10 to verse number 12 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Maybe today you're asking God, please create in me a clean heart so that I can love you. Please create me a clean heart so I can love my wife. Please create me a clean heart so I can forgive my neighbor. Please create me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. But the last part, he says, restore the joy of my salvation. And you know what's the truth, guys? We know salvation takes us to heaven, so we got our ticket punched and we're happy about it. But salvation not only transports you to heaven, salvation transforms you on earth. And those are the disciplines we're looking at, how you and I can restore to the joy of our salvation. You know, when you first came to know Jesus Christ and the excitement that you had, man, why did you let allowing weeds, crowd that joy that you have in your heart for Jesus? The longing, the tears that you shed on your pages of your Bible as you turned. What stole that joy away from you? What stole that joy when he said, honey, I want to pray with you every day? What stole that joy? I pray today that you will ask God, create me a clean heart, that you will restore that joy. And sometimes our families don't want to follow us because we are just not joyous people. We find our joy in different things. Find your joy, man, in Jesus Christ. Don't find your joy in everything else. You cannot have a relationship with materialism. Materialism cannot love you back. Jesus is a person. Is a relationship. And so sometimes we turn to put our joy in different accomplishments in our life, and so that accomplishment or whatever materialism we put our joy into cannot love us back, and we are unjoyous people. And no one wants to be around an unjoy person. Unjoy is a word. I don't know if it's a word. But no one wants to be, it's in South Africa, it's a word. No one wants to be around sad people. If you're always frowning and no one wants to be with you, your wife don't want to eat with you. Because you find your sense of joy elsewhere. So men, I want you to pray today and say, God, I am tired of living on 212 degrees. I want to take the step today, and that step can only come when Pastor calls us here later on to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. And that is, Father, I repent of my sins. We'll start there. So you've been hearing about ordinary men. We were talking about kingdom men. Kingdom men is more of an event that we were doing, but ordinary men is more of a movement. And so today I just want to come invite a couple of my friends one at a time to come and ask them some questions. I know this is hard, but Jesus didn't come to die so we can have small talk. Jesus came to die so you and I can be like him. Jesus Christ came to die so we can represent him. Jesus Christ came to die so we can be a light shining for him. And I'm afraid that we have forgotten why Jesus came to die for us. We have forgotten. The millennials are reminding us why we exist. The millennials want to see how real you are, how authentic you are. Or are you just a bootleg Christian? So perhaps maybe God is raising this new generation to let us bring us back online to who we really are. Let me invite Bobby Taylor. Won't you come and join me here, Bobby? Bobby is a good friend. I got to meet him. And the first time I met Bobby, Stan Lewis took me to Five Sisters. And I'm telling you, good things happened to Five Sisters. Yeah, three brothers in Five Sisters. And so Bobby comes in there and he says, Sean, we're going to talk about men's ministry. I got eight men gathering. We don't know what we're doing. So we still don't know what we're doing, but we're asking God to give us direction. I think we're on a good path. Hey, Bobby, share with us what is ordinary men that we are hearing about?
Okay, so the ordinary man really started about a year and a half ago, Sean, and he really started just a very small group of guys that kind of got together and wanted to start having a closer relationship and start just really feeding off of each other. A lot of our wives and all were going up there at church on Wednesday nights and that sort of thing. So we started just getting together, and we discovered something really quick. Mm-hmm. We were all very hungry to have that mentoring relationship with each other. And it didn't take long for us to figure out that that was pretty powerful. As we got together and we let our guards down, we started to grow.
So men have a guard, right?
Yes, absolutely. We
all right.
Don't we? Yes.
Okay.
And over the course of a year and a half, we just watched things, more and more men wanted to be involved. But it really started with small group. This was not most of you are hearing about the large bonfires, and you talk about pork butt and sweet tea. Yeah, we do a lot of that. That's right. But it was really dealing with small group. And we learned that it was very powerful. But what's unique about ordinary men is, as you spoke just a few minutes ago, this is not it didn't start out of an organized program or something like that. Man, this is truly organic men that just are starting to do this on their own. And it's men that are seeking other men and the love from each other. And boy, I tell you, whenever you start having men expressing how they have your back and that kind of stuff, that helps you stand up and grow. And, mm-hmm. and so what we've learned is, as we continue to meet, even a small group, large group, we see men starting to get closer to God. We see men starting to stand up in our homes and those sort of things. But I tell you what ordinary men means the most to me is really when it comes back to the constant communication, daily type communication. Several of us are in text groups and those sort of things. I had a friend that used to be here in Pensacola. He's moved on now, so a lot of you out here would know the name Dave Paxton. Dave Paxton was a dear friend of mine, and Dave would do something very unique to me, Sean. He did it for years, and I didn't really even realize what was going on. But Dave, he might have done this with several of you, but Dave would put stickers, little post-it notes. He would put it on my car. He'd drop by my office, put it on my desk. He would just stick these sticky notes everywhere. And Sean, what they said was, "Have you been in the Word today?" Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even sign it, right? I knew who it was. He was discipling me, and I didn't even realize that, mm-hmm. right? And so today, guess what I do? I pass sticky notes all the time, man. Oh, and it's something that he taught me. But today we have text. Okay. And so we in our small groups that kind of build out of ordinary men, there's a lot of texting and daily communication going on. I want to read, if you don't mind, just a second. So we get a lot of text kind of thing, and when you start getting in small groups. But think about this, as you start building a relationship with other men, this just happens to be one, as Dave Paxton would give sticky notes. Now we're kind of texting because mm-hmm. that's kind of the thing, right? But just listen to this for a second. So I'm sitting in a business meeting, and I'm doing a presentation, and man, I just text. You just bing, 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 bing. You know, everybody's like,
you can tell you're on silent, you know.
Are you okay? Yeah, but you still can't see. Hey, check this out, right? So this is just one. This is just over the last couple of days, and we see a lot of these things. It's from a friend of mine. This morning I read my Bible, and then I started writing in my journal. I had a busy day today with more stuff than I could possibly get done, guys. Now, this is a friend of ours writing to a group of our small group, mm-hmm. right? My journal's asking for God to bless me with wisdom, efficiency, organization, and how to prioritize my long list of today's tasks. I ask God at the same time for me to be the light to those who come in contact while going about my busy day. But halfway through my journal, I realized, guys, I wasn't asking at all. I just wrote my plan, and I told God what I was going to be doing. I made him a tag-along, guys, and today, and asked him to help me. This is completely backwards from what I should be doing. So about halfway through my journal, I stopped. I asked forgiveness and said, God, here I am. Send me. If I truly believe what I say, then he is in charge of my business anyway, and he will put me where he needs to be minute by minute. I hope each of you guys have a great day. Sorry for the long post, but I felt the Spirit tell me to write this down. Eyes up, guys. All right, now, do you think my day, there's no way under the sun my day is going to continue the same way, right?
That's true. In this text that he just read, there's some text messages comes, I love you guys. Now, you know, I don't know whether you hear the word love a lot when you come talking to men, especially if a text message is coming to you 11:30 at night before you go to bed, hey, I love you guys. That's like, you know. But men, you are designed to love each other. And so that text message is coming out. So everyone's talking about disciple and discipling and so on. At ordinary men, what's your understanding about who's a disciple?
So we are disciples, just simply following Jesus Christ. And it's us doing that.
So if somebody asks us, what is a disciple or who is a disciple, what is the answer?
It's us following Jesus Christ.
And so what is discipleship?
That's help. He always laughs when I say this because it's so simple, right? Because I'm not a very smart guy, but I have to break it down simple. It's us helping each other follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Simple as that.
A disciple is someone who's following Jesus. Discipleship is helping others follow Jesus. People writing books are making money out of this, okay? Jesus told that 2,000 years ago, all right? Follow me. That's about it. So you are sitting here in a room thinking, how can I be a disciple, or how can I be in discipleship? If you are following Jesus, you're a disciple. If you're helping others follow, then you are in discipleship relationship. Hey, at Ordinary Men, tell us, what are some of the core values that we have quickly before we bring some other guys on stage?
Hey, so some of the things we're doing, we adhere to biblical principles. We
one God, one wife, one baptism, that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We pray. We will pray. We're going to hold accountability to each other.
Okay.
And that's where we've seen ourselves grow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to serve the church and serve our communities. It's some of the things we've been doing here in the last few days. And one of the best ones I like, Sean, is we will equip ourselves to become better. Now, my wife says, well, what's the rest of it? Well, that's the whole thing. It's we're going to equip ourselves to be better. We're going to be better husbands, better leaders in our homes, better Christ followers, and that's one of our core values that we're going to do. And then we're also going to multiply.
Amen.
That's what our core values.
I really like the word multiply. I spent 10 years in Connecticut, and I learned about America on the streets in Connecticut. So I learned about America in the hood, all right? And everything I know about America, that's what I learned. That was my school right there. And if you told me, Sean, you come into America, and then 10 years later, you're going to be in Pace, having a big bonfire with 100 bubbas. Pastor calls me one day, he said, Sean, let me show you something. 10 of those bubbas surrounded me. And everyone lifted the shirt. I'm like, oh God, I think I am safe and secure in this group. If you told me, hey, this is the most cross-cultural awkwardness I ever had in my life, right here. We don't talk alike.
Your accent's worse than mine, I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I went to school. But anyway, listen, guys, men do not need to look like you, talk like you, come from where you came from. If you've been to the cross, they are like you.
So don't look for men. I'm going to look for the next Sean Pillay. You won't find him. Don't look for the next Bobby. You won't find him. Look for the next man that God is calling you to pour your life into. And I'm just telling you, when a pastor called me to that circle, I'm like, I never had pork butt before. I never knew butt tasted that good. But anyway, and I'm standing there and I'm seeing men cry and weep before That's God right. around this this bond. But it's not about the big groups. It's That's about right. the Absolutely. Small groups.
Absolutely.
Yep. And let's invite someone to the stage who was around that bonfire and God is using him. Let's welcome Blake Thaxton to the stage. All right. Blake is one of our deacons serving in his first year as a deacon. And so there's another Baba. Yeah, you see that, right? Okay.
There you go, Blake.
Hey, Blake, thank you for coming and sharing this story with us. I'm really encouraged. One of the nights we were in the backyard of Jeremy Wyatt's house. If you're in the backyard of Jeremy Wyatt, you need Google Maps. Sometimes Google Maps don't work in Shumakla, but we are there, all right? We are there. And God spoke something very special in your heart around that bonfire. Share with us, Blake, what God spoke to you.
All right, so I'm going to go a little bit further back from there. Last year sometime, God had just started working on my heart, and like I've told Sean before, He was Lord of the central part of my life, but He wasn't Lord of everything in my life. And that's when He started revealing that to me, and He just started working on me. So leading up to that meeting, God had really been working on me, and I had a bunch of friends tell me about what was going on with Bobby and the other guys, and so they were like, you got to be at this meeting. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming. So I showed up at the bonfire, and we had some good catfish or something, and Sean was teaching about what he was talking about earlier with Nathan and David, and Nathan keeping David accountable and talking about developing small groups, not to just talk about our sins, but to really hold each other accountable to live for the Lord. And one thing he always says that I wrote down, multiply our joys and dividing our sorrows. And that, while he was talking to that, I was just like, yes, this is what I want. This is what God is calling me. This is what God has been moving in me ever since the prior year. And I was ready to go right then. And I started praying, standing around that bonfire, give me guys that I can start a small group with to hold me accountable and to pour into them, and they can pour into me.
Amen. How can you not like when Blake, when he talks, you just love this guy, all right? He's just like, he's the sweetest guy.
I tell Sean all the time, I'm not very talented or anything. I'm just likable.
All right. It's just the way you smoothly, like you high. You're just like, hey, you know? It's like, man, he's something I can't understand when he talks, all right? Hey, so tell me, you belong to a connection group. After that desire, burning desire you had around this big group of people, you identified two men, and you started a small group. Tell us who those guys are and how you started that group.
All right, so like I said, I started praying that God would just show me some guys to start this group with. And I started thinking, you know, I was like, logistically, these guys need to be close to where I work because it just works better and we can make this happen. And I went to our connection group, the Adventurers, and I saw sitting across from me, Calvin. And God just said, look at Calvin. He's growing like crazy. Pour into him. He can pour into you. And then I was already great friends with Brad Highnote, and eventually he started joining with us too. And so I asked Calvin if I could meet up with him for lunch sometime that day when I saw him. And we went to the Tasty Freeze in Milton, and we started talking, and just told him what I was thinking about doing and starting a small group and holding each other accountable. And I told him, I said, you know, we kind of grew, me and Calvin, we grew up in the generation of D groups or whatever, but all the discipleship groups I've been a part of are like, hey man, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling, and we talk about what we're struggling with for 2 years and nothing ever changes.
It's like a pity party, that's
yeah,
what it is.
It's a pity
yeah.
party. So so I told Calvin, I said, Calvin, I want to do this, but I want to, you know, I want to do it right. I want us to hold each other accountable in spiritual disciplines. And Calvin just looked at me and said, this is what I've been praying for. I've been praying for something like this. I mean, it was evident already that Calvin was growing tremendously, and he had been praying for something like this, and the Lord just led me to start it up. And
where did y'all meet?
So we started meeting at, Calvin runs a bait and tackle shop, and we started meeting like right next to the bait tanks in the back. It smelled really good.
Talk about making fishes of men right there at the bait shop. So okay. And tell me, you had a timeline of how long you'll want to be meeting you, Brad Einhardt, and Calvin.
So we just kind of, when we got together, we started talking about what we want to be about, and we didn't want to be sitting by the bait tanks 2 years from there and be talking about the same things. We said we want to be intentional, and we made a commitment to 6 months, and we said we'll talk about it at that point. We're right around 6 months now. And we said we wanted to do something different at that point. We didn't want to just stay together. We wanted to multiply.
That's good. And in that small group, they imagine this, 6 in the morning next to bait tanks. You must be suffering for Jesus or else, you know. But tell me, in that small group, what are some of the things? I know y'all read your Bible, you pray, but what are the other elements that y'all exercise, disciplines?
So the spiritual disciplines that we focus on and we keep each other accountable on are obedience, spending time in the Word, prayer, evangelism, and scripture memory. And those are the things we go through every single week, and we say how we doing on those things and try to encourage each other. We probably don't text as much as these guys, but we will send texts to each other throughout the week if we're struggling with something that has to do with those spiritual disciplines, and then we try to encourage each other.
You had scripture memory, right? Scripture memory is a forgotten art of the church today. Family altars is forgotten in the church today. Let me tell you, family altars alters families. Amen. Amen. Family altars alters families. And so that's what you were doing. Thank you for being so faithful. And I know you're also mentoring Stan. Stan is here. We're glad that you're here, my brother Stan. And let's welcome Calvin and his wife Courtney and the daughter Addie. Let's welcome and just hear from them for a few minutes what God is doing, and we'll come for a time of prayer. All right, let's welcome this family. They are nervous as can be. Pull us 4 chairs forward. I tried hard not to cry when this family came up. And I know Brad is here, and you're praying for us, Brad. Bobby is a deacon in this church. And Calvin is not a deacon. And Brad is a deacon. I'm sorry, Blake and Brad is a deacon. Men, there are more Calvins in this church than Bobby's and Blake's. There are more Calvins in this church. Walk in and walk out, have a burning desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Calvin, tell me, how do your wife can come next to you, that's all right. It's all right. Anyway, we're going to model something very different here. They've got no problems. They love each other. Trust me. Calvin, tell me how you got connected to this group, brother.
Well, Blake kind of touched on majority of that. We started coming to Olive about a year ago or so, about the same time Blake was, I guess, kind of feeling God pull on his heart. And we started the adventure groups on Sunday, and that was basically the only time that we were in the Word with God. That, and when Pastor Ted was preaching, and I told her, I said, I got to have something more. Like Bobby was saying, the hunger for God, what I was doing wasn't enough. And I kept praying and praying for God to give me something. And then just one random day, Blake said, hey, man, you want to meet up for lunch? We did that.
Ladies, I want you to hear this. Tell us the difference it makes in your home that you know your husband is following Jesus.
I mean, it makes a 100% difference. I can trust him the first thing. I mean, I don't even have to worry. You know, I know that he's being faithful to me and he's growing our family. We are much closer to God than we ever were. Our faith was at a very just standstill. We weren't moving forward and we were just kind of dead. So ever since all this has happened, we're still growing every day. And it's amazing to see God in our lives and working through my husband and him being the leader of our family. So that's been a huge difference. He leads us and makes, you know, he holds me accountable when I need to do my Bible study. And with this little one, we do a little devotional. And so it's 100% turnaround. Amen. 100%.
Calvin, in your home, tell me how you lead your family in devotion and Bible study.
We pray together. Of course, with every meal and stuff like that, but at nighttime we make it a set thing that we sit down and pray together. My wife, we did a Bible study together for a little bit, and we both are very, I guess, ADHD, so while one was reading, the other one wasn't paying attention. So we do our separate Bible studies, and we get together and talk about them and kind of say, hey, well, this is what I've learned in mine today, and she would talk about what she learned in hers. So that way we would kind of say, well, this is how I've dealt with that or something like that.
If you want to have an hamburger on a hot dog, man, this guy can cook it. And he can fry fish. I mean, bread, you give him anything, bread, I know, he's a fish fryer right there, all right? You know what Calvin said? He said, show me how I can serve, who I can serve. Yesterday, Pastor was talking to football team, and we were cooking hamburgers and hot dogs for the team. And Calvin dropped off Addie at Deshni's, at our house, and so Deshni watching it. And so Calvin came to flip hamburgers. And Calvin says, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I want to serve. Calvin, this is a very important thing for me. So we had the big groups here. We had a smaller group. Now we have a family. There's four chairs over there. What's going to happen? And tell me the story of the four chairs.
Well, the story about the four chairs, we're going to be breaking off and starting new groups. And I think I've prayed and prayed, and I think God has given me the men that I'm going to do it with. But hopefully this time next year or something, they're going to be up here doing the same thing we're doing right now and breaking off and doing the same thing.
Amen.
Like you said, multiplying.
Let me tell you, someone took the time and invested in Calvin and his family. Now Calvin wants to go and invest. Brad, I know, and you and Rachel are here. You're a tremendous blessing to this team. I know Catherine is here. They get together, and so now it's going to be sad for them to break off. But that's what Jesus wants of us. You see, if they go into seventh month and eighth month, they'll get really comfortable. So thank you, Calvin, for really asking the Lord to bring four men into your life. And so this group is now disbanding, and we're having multiplication take place. Men, can you pray today and say, God, won't you use me like Calvin? Who's your Calvin that you're going after? So I was going to say, Bobby, thank you, man, for your heart. Blake, thank you for your passion. Brad, thank you. And Calvin, I pray that we'll have a multiplication of Calvins here at Olive Baptist Church.